Why do some people and agencies that help blind people treat the word blind like it's a four-letter word? In this episode of the I Can't See You podcast, I'll talk about that and some other things that happened during the NFB National Convention.
From Studio C, welcome to the I Can't See You podcast with David. He can't see, but he's got a lot to say and a face for radio.
Hello there, and welcome to episode 84 of the I Can't See You podcast. My name is David, at David Benj on all the socials. I really appreciate you joining me for today's episode. And I've got a couple of things to talk about, primarily going to talk about the recently concluded National Federation of the Blind National Convention. We'll get into that in a second. And it's funny, every time I record, each week when I record and I see the number, I have some sort of fixation with numbers. I don't know what it is. And as soon as I saw 84, I thought of the David Bowie song, 1984. I won't sing it for you, so don't worry. You don't have to fast forward unless you want to get to something else. Can't wait till next week's episode, but I'll keep that under wraps because I thought about it today as I was doing some computer work on renaming some files. But what I want to talk about is the National Federation of the Blind National Convention. And as most of you know, last year it was in Las Vegas, and we had a couple of episodes on thanks to American Airlines. Liz told me last night, just let it go with American Airlines. Everybody knows the story as well as you do by now because you just keep talking about it. So I won't go into how they left us in Philadelphia for 3 days, so I missed the first 3 days of our first national convention, can never get it back, and lost the money on the hotel room and so forth and so on. She thinks that some of my friends in the NFB Keystone chapter know it as well as I do and feel like they've lived it by now because I talk about it too much. And maybe I do, but not going to let it go. As she said, and she knows me, you know, we've been together for, married for over 30 years and together for a few more years plus that, so she knows that I don't let anything go. And as some of my friends here that listen also know, that's the case. So not going to talk about that. Want to focus on this year's convention. And this year's convention was supposed to be in Houston, and I was really looking forward to going to Houston. I've never been there. I have a friend that lives down there that I would have liked to have met up with. That would have been nice. And there's someone else down there that I maybe would have connected with, somebody who's in the Blind Abilities Fantasy Football League, and I've had him on the show back last November. I will link to that episode in the show notes. Hopefully we'll get to do fantasy football this year. I'm looking forward to that, but I think football's up in the air, I have to admit. With the coronavirus. So hopefully it gets done as long as it can be done safely. So we were all excited to go to Houston. And then, of course, when the pandemic hit and everything started to get canceled, it got canceled and went virtual. And I have to say that I wasn't really looking forward to sitting in front of my computer for 3 or 4 days doing the different sessions and learning the different things and being inspired. I honestly did not think I would do that much of it because I just can't stand to sit at my computer for a long period of time. I just, you know, it bothers my knees. As I'm talking to you right now, I'm standing in front of my computer. I don't have a standing desk, so my keyboard is low. And as I've probably mentioned before, I have my keyboard actually under my desk so I can get as close to my screen as possible so that I can at least have a chance of seeing some things that may be on it. So to try and figure out how to do that while standing, I don't know how I would make that work. I am going to look into it because I do enjoy standing. I had a condo board meeting the other day. Lasts a little more than an hour, hour and a half. I stand the whole time. I just like to stand. It's just more comfortable for me than sitting. Obviously, when I'm tired, I'd rather be sitting for a little bit. But I am standing here speaking to you today. And I did that for a little bit of the convention. And the convention usually lasts 5 or 6 days. As I said, last year, we missed the first couple of days because we couldn't get out to Vegas because of some issues, as I said, with American Airlines. This year, the first couple of days were there were sessions such as Amazon puts on a demonstration of all their products and how they're accessible. Google did the same thing. And I have to tell you that I'm very excited about checking out a Google Chromebook. Because I don't like sitting in my office, I'd love to be able to go and sit in the living room or go to a quiet place, whether it's outside by the pool or in the conference room downstairs in the condo office, where it could be quiet and no disturbances or very little disturbances, so I can write articles for a couple of the websites that I run and manage. That would be great. And I've been thinking about that. Obviously, I can do it with an iPad and maybe a Bluetooth keyboard, a full-size Bluetooth keyboard. But to be able to use something that's a lot less than an iPad, price-wise, would be outstanding. And maybe I can get away with a basic iPad. Like for Mother's Day, the kids and I got Liz an iPad so she could use the kitchen app, which we also got. Well, the kids also got it for which she absolutely loves. So if you're thinking about getting the Food Network kitchen app, she just loves it. So it's a lot of good stuff on there, and she's really been, she's a teacher, so over the summer she has a lot of time, and as I've mentioned before, she's been making a lot of different things, so she's been watching a lot of different videos, some of them live, some of them recorded, so she loves that. So maybe I could get by, because again, what I want to do is basic, I don't want to call it word processing. Is that what they still call it? Maybe I'm showing my age there. I basically just want to write, maybe do a little bit of editing of images and removing backgrounds and things like that. But again, there's websites now that you can go to, remove.bg, for example. If you have an image, you want to take the background out, give it a try. No affiliate link there, just go, it's free, and very quick, upload the picture, hit a button, and download the new picture. So nothing crazy. I'm not going to go into Adobe Illustrator and Photoshop. I honestly don't use Photoshop much anymore because I just can't, my vision is just that bad that I just can't use it. Illustrator is difficult, but because you're working with vectors, you never get any kind of pixelation or anything like that, is, when you zoom all the way in. And as I've said before, it just takes me so long to do certain things in those that it's just not worth it. So the convention had, the great presentation by Google. So I want to go look at a Chromebook or several Chromebooks because I need one. Again, my fingers are not very nimble. So I need one that the keys are, not really tight. And that's, I have an old iPad that has a keyboard, that's attached. And it was one that Jane used in school, in high school. So that wasn't yesterday. But the keys, it's just too difficult for me to type on it. And, that would be the best for me because the voiceover with an iPad, as I were to type, it would be great and easy for me to use. So I have to check out a Chromebook and see if it's just that easy because, for about $300 or so, I could get a Chromebook with a touch screen and I think it would be great to be able to do that where I'm not tied to my desk and I can, like I said, go downstairs to a quiet conference room where, there's no phone and stuff like that. So I was really excited once I saw that presentation by Google. So I'm looking forward to that, checking that out. I went to another one and I don't remember the name of, I want to say it was called Something Envision. They're based in Wichita, Kansas. The guy that did the presentation, his name was Mika. It was so good. He demonstrated a few things. One of them is a couple of different versions. It's some sort of oven. And it's, I think it does, convection. I think you could use it as a toaster oven. And a couple other things. But the cool thing about it was that there are certain food, Trader Joe's, for example. You can go to Trader Joe's and you buy, you know, like a frozen meal, whatever it is, a noodle bowl, let's say. And you take the thing over to the oven, and it's got a barcode scanner. So you scan the barcode, and it then does the settings, whatever the cooking temperature is and the length. It will, you know, just by scanning the barcode, it will, you know, input all that information. So that was very cool. And this guy was just great at, he had a great personality to do this demo. I will try to find the website and link to the website because it was just awesome. And he did a couple other things where he was demonstrating these, I think they're called slates. You know, these little things that you can put in your luggage. So when your luggage, one of the things that I was worried about when I went to Orlando in March, just under the COVID lockdown, was finding my luggage. You know, when I got to Orlando, someone, you know, actually saw me waiting and came over to me and said, "Hey, can we help you find it?" And I said, "You know, I'm willing to give it a go. Oh no, we'll stay." And you know, so that ended up working out great. And then when I got back to Philadelphia, Liz didn't meet me at the airport. I called her when I landed, so she then came and picked me up. But, you know, I ended up calling Jane and FaceTiming with Jane so she could help me find it. So that worked out okay too. I think I actually woke her up. She was still she was still in New York, and I came in late on a Sunday night, so it was a work night, which she typically, when she's in New York, goes to bed earlier than she does while she's working here because the commute's a lot easier. It's about 25 steps from her room to her desk here in Swarthmore. So it was very cool, these things, and you can use them obviously for other things. And you know, he was mentioning that a friend of his used, or maybe somebody had called, you know, part on the Zoom presentation had, you know, was asking questions and then had mentioned that one of his friends uses it when he travels, not for the luggage, but he puts one on the hotel room door so that he can easily find his way there, you know, once he knows, you know, that once he's in the right room, obviously. So it just was very cool. And again, the guy was, you know, he did a lot of things that I want to do. For example, to demonstrate the luggage, he was at the Wichita airport and he was using, video. He was showing his phone, which for the oven demonstration, he used his phone to video what was going on. But for the luggage demonstration, he was using something else. And I actually asked him, I said, "What did you use to record your, the video at the airport?" And he said he used a GoPro with the, I guess you can get a head strap with it, and he used that. You know, I have some, as I've mentioned before, some video glasses that I've used in the past, and quality hasn't been 100% good. Audio's a little funny sometimes, and I'm actually on my third pair. The company has replaced the first two pairs. So, but, you know, with the lockdown, I haven't really had a chance to use it, and that was one of the things after being in Orlando at VidFest and PodFest, that was one of the things that I really wanted to do, was to get out and about and show what it's like if I go to the supermarket and try to buy stuff and how it is that I maneuver through. So everyone gets an idea, hey, I can go to the market on my own and find stuff. And maybe I can, maybe I can't. But, you know, hilarity might ensue. So this guy Micah was doing what, you know, what I, you know, want to do. I mean, and so we talked about it for a little bit, and you know, it was just very cool. And he talked about another product or two, but they weren't as cool as the two items that I mentioned already. So those types of things were there. Amazon went over all of their products and how they're accessible and stuff like that. You know, so many different versions of the Echo now. And in fact, you know, one of the things that I use, you know, the Echo and the Echo Dot that I have, is to find out what time it is. You know, I will just say, "Hey lady, what time is it?" And she'll tell me. And evidently, over the last year or so, over a billion times that question was asked. So one of the Echo or Echo Dots coming out has a clock in it. Again, not really helpful to me because, you know, I probably won't be able to see it. And I don't remember if they said it was LED or LCD. It would be cool if it were LED, because if it were LED, then that means there would be a little bit of a light to it. So, you know, one of the echoes that we have is in our bathroom, and we have no nightlight in there. Not that I go in at night that I need to, you know, have a light, but, you know, it would be cool if there was a little bit of a light on, you know, not just for when I go in there, but our master bathroom door is right next to our bedroom door. So when I walk through the bedroom door at night to go to sleep, the master bathroom is on the right, and I turn to the left to go to the, you know, to our bed and to walk into the bedroom. So it would be cool if there was a little bit of a light on in there, because then it would just, you know, just be a little bit easier. There's a big mirror that, you know, it would reflect on. So it would just be a little bit more helpful than, you know, having nothing in there. But just all the cool things that happen. And they also went over, and I know I've probably beaten this to death over the past 83 episodes. This one's 84. So, is most of the TV and movies that they produce have audio description, which, you know, HBO doesn't do anything with audio description. And I was reminded at the convention through the different things and sessions that I sat in on that AT&T owns, you know, HBO. So, you know, our mobile plan is with AT&T. So, you know, maybe there's something that could come of that. You know, the fact that they don't really care about getting blind folks to watch any of the stuff they show, you know, to me just makes it more difficult, you know, for me to want to even subscribe. Obviously, we don't subscribe to it because they, you know, they don't have it. And we do subscribe to Showtime, and, you know, the stuff that we watch on there, I don't watch anything on there unless it's with Liz. You know, we watch Shameless, and I watched Homeland. Homeland at the end, I actually had to use my phone when there were subtitles on the screen. I used my phone to read the subtitles to me so I knew what was going on if Liz wasn't around. In the last couple of episodes, more than a couple, Liz actually watched with me to kind of tell me what was going on. But they don't do audio description either, and that's for another episode. But Amazon and Netflix are great with audio description, and they went over that. And again, the folks that do the demonstrations, a lot of them are either blind or visually impaired, and you know, so those were great. I sat in on a session about fundraising, which was also very good, with ideas that you could use. In different ways they accept payments. Now, unfortunately, you know, Zelle was mentioned more than once. The bank that we use with the Keystone chapter hasn't gotten into Zelle yet, so I can't use that as a way to accept payments. It would obviously be very easy if that were the case. So I sat in on that, but the thing that the first real night, and it was a little bit different because, you know, usually everything takes place during the day, with the exception of the banquet. You know, the general sessions usually started at, you know, 9 or so, or 9:30, and then went to noon, and then from 1 or 1:30 until 4 or 5, depending on what went on. And sometimes they went a little bit longer. Usually it was around 6 hours a day. Give or take, and they always, you know, ran along for whatever reason. And but there's 3 days of general sessions, basically. And some of the general sessions is the first day was the roll call of states. But again, when you're in one place, like last year when we were in Las Vegas, everybody's in the same place. So the timing was, you know, like I said, 9 to noon and 1 or 1:30 to 4-ish or 5-ish, depending. But now, because everybody is at their house, you know, there's people on the East Coast and there's people in Hawaii. So you've got to do it where, you know, you're not going to start something at 9 because people on the West Coast or Hawaii, for example, are not going to get up in the middle of the night to participate. So everything was shifted. So one of the sessions usually happened from either 7 to 9, 6:30 to 9, or 6:30 to 9:30, stuff like that. So it was very different. So there was, you know, like I mentioned in last week's episode, I had a lot going on last week, and then, you know, it just ran into the evening. So the first session, the first general session, I thought, you know, I don't want to sit at my computer the whole time. Let me try to do Zoom on my phone, which I kind of liked because I was able to move around. I actually, during this first general session, when they were doing what's called the roll call of states, which basically says, hey, we're from whatever state you're from. This is our delegate. This is our alternate delegate. Here's when our convention, state convention is, and here's who the person is. And, you know, most of the states were, if they haven't had their state convention yet this year, we're going to do either a virtual or a hybrid. I know Pennsylvania is still planning to do one in person in Pittsburgh, which I was really excited to go to because another place I haven't ever been is Pittsburgh. And, you know, I was excited to go there and go to Primanti Brothers and try one of those sandwiches. I mean, listen, it's always about food. You know, Houston, you know, we would have gone to Whataburger, and that would have been awesome. And, you know, again, as I said, you know, Liz and I were also planning to go to the beach for a couple of days and be down there for more than the convention time, you know, overlapping either before or after the convention, going down, you know, to the, you know, places along the Gulf. So it was disappointing that we couldn't do that. But so while I'm listening to the roll call of states, I'm doing it on my phone, but, and maybe I did it wrong. Maybe I set it up wrong. I used Zoom, but it's treated as a call. So, you know, whenever I got any kind of text or any kind of notification, you know, while I'm listening to what's going on in the convention, I'm also getting, you know, hearing, you know, severe storm alert, or, you know, this guy tweeted this, or now so-and-so is now following you on Twitter, whatever. So it's very distracting. And as well as, you know, the phone, you know, getting, you know, a lot of use. And I liked being able to walk around. Like I said, I got about 4,000 steps in while I was walking around my 1,300 square foot apartment while listening. So that part was good, but it just wasn't, you know, that was the only time I used the phone to get onto Zoom because of all the things that, you know, and again, I could have probably done something to shut those down. One of the other days I did, you know, for a little bit, I did use the phone because I think I was cooking lunch or making lunch or whatever. I don't remember what exactly I was doing. I was doing something where I wasn't going to be able to sit in the office for it. So, you know, for the rest of it, I basically sat here or stood here and, you know, sometimes I watched, but again, you know, because I can't really see that great, it didn't matter. I didn't need to see a talking head, on a video. I mean, it's not like, you know, people are doing, PowerPoint presentations while they're doing things, but some of the speeches that were given, for example, Norma Crosby is the president of the Texas affiliate of the National Federation of the Blind. And, you know, she was just, what a great speaker she was, and, you know, very outgoing person. And so they actually still were considered the host of the convention, even though it was a virtual convention. And they have plans to go to Houston in 2023, which sounds like a long time from now, but, you know, I guess it really isn't. Next year's convention is in New Orleans, so I'm hoping that happens. Liz and I will go to that. Liz was excited to hear that it was down there. And again, Liz doesn't participate really in the convention, but, you know, she goes and reads a book or will do whatever while the convention is going on. So, you know, and you know, again, for food, that was a place, you know, we have always wanted to go and check out. And, you know, we have a friend that lives down there, although he's here in Pennsylvania for the last few months, and his folks, you know, helping them out. And Ken, if you're listening, hello. And you can catch Ken. He's in, what is that called? NCIS New Orleans. He usually plays a police officer in that, or as he calls him, his last name is Stock, so it's Cop Stock. And he's been in a bunch of different things, because New Orleans was getting a lot of film and TV production down there, and it's kind of since moved on to Atlanta. So a lot of that has dried up, but, you know, obviously NCIS New Orleans makes sense to shoot it there, I guess, right? So listening to the speeches on Zoom, you know, like I said, I didn't think I'd sit through. And, you know, but as the convention went on, even after the cool stuff, which was at the beginning, the fundraising and the Google presentation for the Chromebook and the Amazon information. And I have to tell you, last year in Vegas, the Amazon presentation, they gave out all sorts of snacks and all sorts of goodies. So it was kind of disappointing that, you know, we had to watch that on Zoom and not get all the good stuff that we got last year. So, but as that went on, I'm thinking, yeah, this is pretty good. I kind of like it. And I actually watched most of the stuff that went on. I watched, which I never would have thought that. I wasn't excited about the convention going into it. I was talking to a friend and she was like, yeah, I'm so excited for the convention. And I'm like, you know, I'm just not looking forward to sitting here at my desk, you know, for hours and hours and hours. And there was a day where, you know, where some stuff was going on that I just, you know, I had gotten to, you know, there's resolutions that you have to vote on and things like that. So it was a different way of voting. You had to text in this year as opposed to, you know, they, you know, obviously at the convention, they do it, you know, just like they do it in Congress where, you know, all those in favor, aye, all those opposed, you know, no. And if it's close, if it sounds too close, then they'll go to each individual state. And it's actually very cool and very exciting to do it. And me and another friend were very excited by that when that happened. And, you know, it just wasn't the same this year, you know, voting online and stuff like that. But with the exception of the one day with the resolutions that ran long, after I know the ones that were going to be close were early on. So once we got past that, you know, I was sitting here, my knee was killing me. So I thought, you know, I'm going to go lay down for a half an hour while, you know, this continues, then I'll jump back on. And, you know, it worked out. I didn't have a fear of missing out. And if I did, I figured, you know, everything's recorded. I could always go back and watch the recording if I wanted to. So the speakers were great. Mark Riccobono, who is the president of the NFB, he gave a couple of speeches, as well as, for the most part, you know, being the person who ran the general sessions. And it's just incredible to me, as I was saying to my friend Lisa, you know, some of the things that they did, especially the night of the banquet, the last night of the convention is a banquet. And, you know, obviously there was no banquet this year because, you know, everybody was in their own place and, you know, we didn't order. And it's usually formal. You dress in a suit and tie. And I shouldn't say formal. It's a suit and tie, you know, as opposed to showing up in jeans or shorts, you know, like the general sessions like we did. You know, but speeches go on while you're eating and or in between courses or whatever. And, you know, it's just a good, they're just good things. And that night, that one was emceed by a guy named Anil Lewis, who was actually, I thought, was great. And watching that and watching how there really was no different than watching, if you ever watch news on Fox or CNN, you know, where, you know, they got one person in one city and they got somebody in another city and they got somebody in, you know, and then the anchor is in, you know, New York or Atlanta, depending on, you know, or Washington. And, you know, so he was in Baltimore, you know, running the thing. And they went to, for example, there's a Louisiana Center for the Blind. They were having, you know, it's where they do training for, you know, you learn mobility and independence and so forth and so on. And there's one in Colorado. And so they went to these different, some states, you know, they had some gatherings where there were maybe 10 people, you know, 15 people, stuff like that. So it was just cool, you know, and he would say, okay, let's check in with the Louisiana Center. And they went to the Louisiana Center and they had, you know, video of, you know, these people actually having a meal together, you know, wherever it is in Louisiana. And I don't remember, I want to say Lafayette, but I'm not 100% on that. You know, it's just very cool how you can do that now. And again, they went to Norma Crosby for a minute and she was somewhere in Texas and they went to somebody out in Utah and they went, you know, all over. And it's just very, very cool. One guy, they do awards where they award grants for different things for folks who are doing things either to help blind folks. And this year there was a I don't remember the names. A school or that does they called it STEAM instead of STEM because I think the A stood for art. You know, where they, you know, they won a $25,000 prize and an acting accessible acting access, something like that, accessibleacting.com or something like I'll find it and put it in the show notes when I put that up later. And I'm actually, just so you know, I'm recording on Thursday of the day I'm releasing this just because that's how the scheduling worked out with, with Jacob and Target and my scheduling with, board issues here, in Swarthmore. You know, it was just very cool because they were on and I think the person, the acting one, I think she was based in California. And, you know, the person that did the presentation, he might be more than a board member, but he was based in Hawaii. You know, it was just very cool, you know, to think that here I'm watching this guy in Hawaii give this prize to this person in California and this person somewhere else. I mean, it's just amazing that you can even do that. You know, and of course there are always glitches and things like that, but you know, it was just very cool, you know. Still would have been better to all be in one place, but it didn't happen. And that's fine. You know, again, because the technology is there. And again, talking to my friend Lisa after, you know, we were saying, you know, she's around my age, or as I like to tell her, a couple years older. when you think back even 10 years ago, it wouldn't have happened. It just wouldn't have happened. And that part was great. But listening to the speeches, and I've taken a long time to get to this, and I apologize for that. At the banquet, President Riccobono gave a speech about blind and how the word blind is considered by some like a four-letter word. I know it's five letters, but it's considered like a four-letter word, and you know the other four-letter words that are not nice to say, but some organizations that are either nonprofit or government run won't say blind because they think it's bad. Now, I've always been on the fence about saying I'm blind because, just like most of you probably think, somebody who is blind can't see anything. And as I've mentioned more than once, to be considered blind, only about 8% of folks, for example, that use a white cane are totally blind. Most are legally blind, like I am. I've always been hesitant to say, hi, I'm blind. And then, you know, when I do happen to notice something, like the other day when I was in the condo office and they were talking about a resident here was talking to the office manager about, you know, they were talking about something. I said, oh, what's going on? And evidently, one of the neighbors of a building, you know, of a house, you know, on the next street was flying their drone and, you know, like, you know, looking into the windows and just hovering outside of people's windows. And, you know, a couple minutes later, I thought I saw something outside of the window of the office. And, you know, I said, what's going on out there right now? And he thought I was joking. And there was actually, you know, guys working outside on the, either doing yard work or whatever. And, so to stand there in the office, and I'd never met this guy who was, again, a resident here, I never met him before, so he's seeing me with my white cane, but I'm looking out the window, you know, and seeing something. You know, again, I didn't know what it was. You know, I didn't know if it was a dog or a person I was having a floater in my eye and worried that I was going to have to call the retina specialist. So I've always been hesitant to call myself blind because, like most folks, you know, yeah, it's either you see or you're blind, and that's not the case. And to hear Mark Riccobono, the president of the National Federation of the Blind, talk about these organizations that won't even use the word, they're not a blindness specialist, they're a vision specialist. Well, that's just dumb. It is just, it's just silly to me. And as I tweeted, I always just like to say, I can't effing see. And that kind of covers the whole thing because I can see a little bit, but I don't see a lot. And, you know, if you ask me now, over maybe 2 years ago, hey, are you blind? Yeah, I'm blind. But again, it still has, I don't want to say it, I'm not in denial because I know I can't see and I've never been able to see great, as I've mentioned here. So the word blind in the NFB's definition is anybody that is visually impaired to the point where they're legally blind and they cannot either be independent without the white cane or without a guide dog or, be able to read a normal with glasses you could walk into the store and buy and have made. You know, obviously, if your vision is correctable above 20/200, then you're not legally blind. You know, I have a friend who always says, yeah, without my glasses, I'm legally blind. Well, that's not the definition. The definition is corrected. You know, if your vision is corrected and can't be corrected above 20/200, you're legally blind. If it can be corrected above 20/200, you're not. So, you know, it just stuck with me, and I just thought it was funny that here are these big organizations and agencies that won't use that word, blind. And, you know, as I've said a lot, there's not too much you could say to me about being blind or being visually impaired or just not being able to see that bothers me as much as actually not being able to see. So I don't really care what you call it when you talk to me. A lot of people do, but I'm not going to get offended by that. You know, as I've said before, you know, people say a lot of dumb things when they talk to me. I mean, I had somebody ask me once why I was carrying around the curtain rod, because I had my cane with me. And I don't think it would actually hold curtains, to be honest. You know, I mean, it's just dumb. You laugh and whatever, it doesn't matter. It's not as offensive as not seeing. And, as I get older and I listen to my phone tell me a number, I got to play it over and over and over because I just don't get it on the first 7 tries. Whereas if I looked at it, I'd get it right away. If I could see it, I could, I'd get it right away. So as I've said, I'm a very visual person and I have very little vision and it makes things difficult. And as my mobility instructor told me, she's like, if you're a visual person and can't see, life is tough. If you're not a visual person, it's not as difficult. And I definitely agree with that. And to use the word blind, you know, again, it is what it is. I always joke, and this offends a lot of people. if you find it offensive, it is. It probably is. Telling a story, if they have a line for disabled people, I will say, I got in the cripple line. And, you know, that bothers some people. It bothers a lot of people, probably. It's not politically correct. And, you know, in this day and age, I try not to say it outside of the apartment because I know people will be offended by it. you know, again, nothing more offensive to me than not seeing. You know, I don't care what you call it. You know, I used to call, I used to call my cane, oh, give me my stick. Listen, you know, and that offended some of my blind friends. It's not a stick, it's a tool, it's a cane. And yeah, I get it. But you know what? If something happened when I was out and about and I needed something to figure out how to go and do, if I could find a stick on the ground, I would be able to use it and I'd use it as a cane. You know, I don't think I'd be able to use the pool noodle that a few years ago that kid in school was given because he kept hitting people with his cane. He was hitting people with his cane because he couldn't see them. You know, it's just dumb. I mean, the noodle's too floppy. You can't use it. You need something, you know, hockey stick, baseball bat, you know, antenna for a car if the car's really old. They don't really put those on anymore, right? So, you know, again, everybody's different, and I know some people find things offensive. You know, same thing goes with, you know, some of the things I say about being Jewish. I try not to say them outside of my apartment, but sometimes I do. And, you know, I'm sure it offends people. There are statements, which I'm not going to say here, that I remember my dad telling me somebody used it at a meeting about pricing on something. And he said, this one I will say, and my mom always hated when I used it. The guy used the word, we Jewed him down. And I said, what? I said to my dad, he was telling me on the phone, and he said, we Jewed him down. I said, what does that mean? And he said, you never heard that before? I said, never. And I mean, this is only, you know, they lived in that condo unit over in Wallingford from 95-ish to 2006. So it was sometime in that time frame. So, you know, it's not like I was a kid when I heard that. I was, you know, in my 20s or 30s. Well, actually, in my 30s, you know, when I heard it. So, or maybe even 40. Holy cow. But I thought, you know, it didn't offend me. Again, you know, everybody's different. Some people find anything and everything offensive. Calling me blind or crippled or disabled or whatever. Some people get offended by being called disabled and say, I'm not disabled, I'm diff-abled, like I'm differently abled. Okay, you want to call it that, whatever. That's up to you. You find something offensive, you can't change that. I mean, just how, it's how you feel. You know, there are some things that have been said lately that just boggle my entire mind, as Wilson Good would say. You know, that just, you know, people just, things that, you know, really reaching for stuff now. I mean, it is just brutal. But blind, please don't treat it like a four-letter word. It is what it is. If you can't see, you're blind. You're playing football and somebody's coming from the side that you're not looking, you're blindsided. As I said a few weeks ago, the office manager here wouldn't use that word when she was giving me a heads up on something. I said, you didn't want me to be blindsided. She said, yeah, I didn't want to use that word. I said, why not? That's what it is. You don't have to come up with a whole new lexicon. You know, I'll see you tomorrow. I might not actually see you tomorrow, but I'll, you know, when I meet with you in the office, I'll see you tomorrow. And that's, you know, what are you going to say? Hey, I'll meet with you tomorrow. I'll hear you tomorrow. No, I'll see you tomorrow. So blind is not a four-letter word, and obviously we knew that it's a five-letter word, but it's not treated, shouldn't be treated like a four-letter word. So please don't use it as such. So the convention was great, the speeches were great, and I kind of want to say I probably spent 15 to 20 hours over the course of the 4 or 5 days watching. And I was shocked at how much I actually watched, as I told my friends who also, you know, we were texting back and forth and and to text. So blind people texting while they're trying to listen to something, it's kind of tough because you got to listen to the text, but you don't want to miss something that the speaker is saying. So, you know, made it kind of interesting, but it was fun. And so hopefully next year we're all together in New Orleans where the convention is, and I'll have a story for that one as well, I'm sure. So I hope you have enjoyed this episode. And as I started to mention, we are coming up on episode 100, which is, you know, only couple of months away. So kind of looking for ideas on what to do for that, for hitting triple digits with episodes. And I have a couple of ideas, but if you have any, I'd love to know them. Or if you have any other suggestions or questions, again, by now you know the number, but I'll give it to you anyway. Area code 646-926-6350. You have 3 minutes. You could leave a message for that long. You don't have to spend the whole 3 minutes. But please reach out, give a call. And if it's something good and you got something good to say, whether it's a good review or a bad review or a question, I will most likely use it on an upcoming episode. You can also email me, icantseeyoupodcast@gmail.com. Remember, I can't see you is only 7 letters long. It sounds like a whole sentence. icantseeyoupodcast@gmail.com. And always, icantseeyou.com is the website where you can listen to past episodes. But if you subscribe, then you'd always have them and you wouldn't have to go to the website. But if you do go to the website, there's always the Amazon links you could click to help us out. Again, we are affiliated with the Amazon Associates program. So any click on one of my Amazon links when you go to Amazon and buy whatever you buy, we will get a little commission. And we really appreciate that because it helps pay the bills here for the different things that happen on the podcast. And again, thanks. So again, thanks for listening to episode 84 of the I Can't See You podcast. My name is David, at David Benj on all the socials. Please connect with me. And continue to stay safe, and I'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to the I Can't See You podcast. Follow David on Twitter. He is at David Benj.